Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Stacking the Box. Ian McMillan here with Sterling Holmes. It is Masters Week, my friends, but we're not talking golf on this show. We're going to talk the NFL, most notably the Stephon Diggs trade, which happened since we last went live last week. And we're also going to, as promised, talk a little bit of NFL draft for the first time, with that being what, a little over 3 weeks away?
Yeah, April 25th. I only know because it's my birthday. That is legit the only reason why I know when the draft is.
There we go. So it's actually 2 weeks from this Thursday. So about, a little over 2 weeks until the draft. Wow, that's actually going to sneak up on us a little bit. So we're going to finally talk about some draft stuff. But first, football fans, guess what? DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up using our code STB. The best part is that you will receive your rewards even if your first bet loses. Using our code STB not only gets you these bonuses, but also directly supports our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code STB to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. I almost finished it, tripped over the finish line there at the end, but that's okay.
Yeah, you see the ribbon and you're about to run through it.
Well, I got distracted by whatever you were doing. I don't know what.
I was just getting a little dance, baby. Yeah. I thought you were doing a good job. I was actually impressed. And so I was like, damn.
So it's on you for celebrating before I was able to finish it. So it's really your fault. But go ahead.
When someone hits a three, you know, and you turn around, I was in the swaggy P for you, and it rimmed out.
Sign up. Code STB DraftKings Masters Week. So you should put $5 on someone to win the Masters, and only get $150 in bonus bets. Sterling, who are you betting on to win the Masters?
Stupid, but like, how do you not bet Scottie Scheffler?
Because he's 4-1. A $5 bet would win you $20. Give me someone better than that.
I get it, but like, dude, he's so damn good. I honestly think for the Masters, sometimes I go with some shorter hitters who have a very good short game. Like traditionally, I've gone with someone at least to make the cut, someone like Abraham Anser, right? Not the longest hitter by any means, but he's a good ball striker, solid around the green. I don't know if I'm getting that bold this year with him. Maybe like Adam Scott. Try and think outside the box. You ever trying to get some more bang for your buck?
Yeah, if it's a $5 bet just to get your bonus bets there, I'll give you a 50-1 bet. So I guess that would win you
$250.
Russell Henley, 50-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Sign up using the code STB. Bet put $5 on Russell Henley, and the perfect part of it is that even if he loses and doesn't win, which he probably won't, you'll still get the bonus bets. All right, let's talk NFL. Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans was the biggest news of the NFL week. Traded for, what was it, a second-round pick next year?
Yeah, 2025 second-round pick.
2025 second-round pick via Minnesota. Buffalo is also sending back a 2024 sixth and a 2025 fifth to Houston, along with Stephon Diggs. Initial reaction, I guess not even initial reaction, because this broke last Wednesday, was it? Mid-next week, so we've had a bit of time to kind of think about this. What are your thoughts as of right now, Sterling?
Yeah, my thoughts remain the same. As this was phenomenal for the Houston Texans. This is what you do when you go all in with a rookie quarterback. You have the quarterback on a rookie deal, your two best wide receivers, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, rookie contracts. Defensively, your two best players, rookie deals, Derek Stingley Jr. as well as Will Anderson. You have Laremy Tunsil, who's 9% of the cap hit right now. The Texans right now, their fourth cap hit. You want to take a little guess on who it is? Robert Woods. That is how good. Okay.
Well, no, and he's I would not have guessed that.
He's getting paid like $6 million. Like my point is, they're in such a good spot cap wise. Why wouldn't you potentially, quote unquote, overpay for an aging wide receiver who, by the way, still had a great year last year? Not Stephon Diggs standards, but he still went, what, over 1,100 yards, close to 1,200 yards. And you're not expecting him to necessarily be a wide receiver one. You're expecting him to take the load off of some young guys in Nico Collins, who's a great X, and Tank Dell, who's a smaller bodied guy who got injured last year. All you did was strengthen your offense. You gave CJ Stroud more options. I absolutely love this for the Texans. This is what you do. If you're the Bills, you had to. It was inevitable. Like, I think this is, again, a win-win for both teams. Stephon Diggs, the perpetual unrest, whether that's true or false, there seemingly was more than meets the eye. You had to tear down. You keep Stephon Diggs. What happens? You maybe make the playoffs. I mean, the Bills had already torn down a lot over the past couple of seasons. Josh Allen already has so much on his plate. But you need draft capital. You need high draft capital. You need to replenish and reboot that thing. This was the right move. I will say it's tough. I'm still intrigued to see how the cap hit eventually gets spread out. Right now, the dead cap hit I saw for Stephon Diggs and the Bills was $31 million, which is the largest, I believe, largest non-quarterback dead cap hit, which is insane. So we'll see how the Bills try to circumvent that. But the Bills had to do something. They were falling behind. They're behind the Chiefs. They're behind the Texans. They're behind the Ravens. I think they're behind the Bengals now that the Bengals are healthy. Like, why would you keep holding on when you can at least get some sort of draft capital for a guy who's in his 30s, who I think is on the decline?
I think my first initial reaction when it first broke was that, oh, the Bills are screwed and this is a great move for the Texans. As time passes, I actually think it's a better move for the Bills than the Texans. I actually don't really think it actually makes that big of an impact for the Texans. I don't know how good Stephon Diggs is anymore. I don't think he's the same guy he used to be. He did not really have a great season this past year. If you look at PFF rankings, and still, you know, they are subjective, take it for what it's worth, but Stephon Diggs was the 21st ranked wide receiver this past season, below Nico Collins, who was number 3, and Tank Dell, who was 15. So,
but that's great, though. That's three basically top 20 wide receivers.
Right, but how is it? Stephon Diggs does not come across to me as a guy who's going to be fine with being potentially a number 3 receiver, number 2 receiver at best for a team. He was the number 1 main target for the Bills last year, last 2 years, and he still got pissed off he wasn't getting enough targets. What's it going to be like now when he's the third option?
Do you think
that sounds like a cancer in the locker room to me?
I'm not being facetious here when I say this, because I think it's a real possibility. I'm not talking about Madden, but I think the Texans could legitimately have 3,000 yard receivers. I think Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins could all go for over 1,000, and I would not be surprised at all, because Dalton Schultz is like a 6-8 type of tight end, right? A very good tight end who I like, but he's not necessarily a guy that you have to feed the ball to. I really think they're going to spread the ball around a lot, and Stephon Diggs should be thrilled. He's finally going to see a lot of single coverage. With the Bills, everyone knew where they were going. And then if you're the Buffalo Bills, I think to an extent you have to sit here and go, you know what? The offense actually took off when we stopped focusing so heavily on Stephon Diggs and almost got back to old school football, running the ball and getting James Cook involved. So I think if you're the Bills, you can try and talk yourself into saying, all right, we can find a way to make this work. But I think if you're the Houston Texans, you sit here going, we have three legitimate, if you don't want to say wide receiver ones, wide receiver twos at a minimum. Man, I'm thrilled if you're a Houston Texans fan.
Sure, if these players were in a video game and this is just all algorithms, the Texans are in an amazing spot right now. But what happened with the Bills when they decided to start throwing the ball to other people and start running the ball more often? Stephon Diggs became an issue in that locker room. He'd stop halfway through routes. Every single time the ball didn't go to him, he'd be like going like this to Josh Allen, wondering why they didn't throw him the ball. His body language was some of the worst body language in the NFL last year in the second half of the season. So I think you need to consider the human element of this game. And I don't think Stephon Diggs being in a crowded lot in a wide receiver room is going to be good for the Texans.
But you know why he was doing that? Because the other wide receivers for the Bills couldn't catch the ball.
Oh, I don't think that's why he was doing it. He wasn't doing it because he wasn't getting the, but he was doing it because he wasn't getting the ball.
Sure. But do you complain when you win? No. If you win and you're getting, let's say, 1,000 instead of 1,200, you're getting 80 receptions instead of 106. You're not complaining because you're finally winning. That was the whole thing, was it was him in the playoffs, was he was getting pissed off at Josh Allen, not necessarily because he was not getting the ball, but because they were losing. It's going to be different when you understand you're going to Nico Collins or Tank Dell and you're not going to Khalil Shakur or Gabe Davis. I like Shakur. I think he's a good player, but that's not Nico or Tank. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there.
I disagree. I think even if they're winning, I think he's going to be a problem on that Texans team. I don't think it's worth it for them. Or what another issue is, they make him the wide receiver one when he's not the best wide receiver on the team. And you're going to take away from guys like Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who might be better than him right now.
I don't think they do that, but let me look up Nico Collins. I'm pretty sure he's already missed games in his career, and I know for a fact Tank Dell's already missed games in his career. So you're also looking this a little bit as a, all right, we have two wide receivers.
Sure.
Nico Collins played 14 games, 10 games, 15 games, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I'm not gonna argue with that point. That maybe it's a little bit of injury insurance with a wide receiver core that has not been the most healthy in their career. Any other takeaways for the Stephon Diggs trade?
I think it's, again, surprised the Bills would make this trade with Houston. They would not. You know, they were never going to do that with Kansas City.
Oh, of course.
But Houston's on the up and up. I'm a little surprised It was Houston as a team that made this move. You know, if they trade him to the Panthers, the Bears, Seattle, just another team in the NFC, or even maybe like the Steelers, right? I wouldn't bat an eye. But this is a team that's basically vying, and quite frankly, you could say is already above the Bills now. It's a little bit perplexing in that instance.
Are the Bills screwed next year? Like, are they going to miss the playoffs completely? Because they're, if you look at their depth chart, obviously we still have a long ways to go in the offseason, but it's not looking good. And we all kind of knew this is happening because of the way that their salary cap is, but it's not looking good. Khalil Shakir, I mean, they have Curtis Samuel now. Matt Collins are the three receivers, not great. They have a couple good tight ends in Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, but this is the worst Bills team we've probably seen in a handful of years.
Yeah, the defense has taken a step back. I think they missed the playoffs personally. And if you know me, I know Bills fans are probably going to get on me because, you know, they see the Chiefs behind me and all that stuff. I'm a massive Bills supporter. I think they're awesome to watch. They are my maybe second favorite team to watch in the entire NFL. I think Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the NFL. But that team is decimated right now. They had to do this. Again, they got to draft capital back, but it's not until next year. That's next year's second. They did the right move. They went all in. You go all in when the window's like that. When you have Mahomes and what the Chiefs are doing right now, you got to try and win one. They didn't. They got close in the playoffs a couple times, but yeah, they weren't able to get over the hump. I mean, you know, you'll always be what if, but I think the Bills did the right thing. It just didn't work out, and now you have to pay the piper.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive in a little bit of NFL draft here. I think the most interesting position this year is obviously quarterback, because there are so many in the draft, guys like first round guys, borderline first line guys. So I figured we'd just go through and give our predictions for where each of the top quarterbacks, what team they're going to land with.
I love it. And I also didn't realize how classy we both were wearing collared shirts. We were a very fancy upscale show.
I will say next week, hopefully, my Kirk Cousins jersey has been shipped. I just got the email yesterday, the day before. So next week I will hopefully be wearing my brand new Kirk Cousins jersey.
Will you rock some chains with it?
No, I'm not in on the chains thing. I think it's cheesy.
Mm.
Yeah, I will not be drinking coffee while I on the episode next week because the jersey's white. So I will not be eating or drinking anything ever while I'm wearing that Kirk Cousins jersey.
I've told you the spaghetti incident, correct?
I think so.
With my Zach Greinke powder blue jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, first time I got it. Yeah. Yeah. The whole spaghetti incident.
Yeah. I do not want to replicate the spaghetti incident. Usually it's coffee for me. I've ruined plenty of white shirts with coffee.
You know, what's the underrated one that gets me all the time? So many shirts. When I'm cooking chicken or pasta or something like that with the olive oil, the oil gets you. You're cooking, you don't think about it, and then it splats you, and you're like, what the? Why am I? And now I realize why people have
aprons.
Yeah, and I need an apron because I like to cook. A lot of times I'm in a hurry and I'm dressed already.
Yep.
And unless you're going to cook buck naked, I don't think my neighbors want to see that. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I need an apron.
Right.
Apron, no clothes. There we go. Like I'm in the doctor's office. You got to let it breathe.
I was just gifted an apron for Christmas because I have ruined a lot of shirts with bacon grease cooking bacon in the morning. And the same thing with the oil, where the splatter and grease gets on the shirt. So I have a brand new apron that I have worn a few times that I was given on Christmas.
Pro tip, rock a robe. When you rock a robe, when you do it, you can never see it on the robe. Who cares? And now your robe smells like good bacon. Mm. It's a win-win.
Good call. All right, let's get through this list of quarterbacks and predict what team they're going to land with. I think, do we both agree Caleb Williams to the Bears?
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right. Jaden Daniels.
Man. I mean, we're already getting into like, I think he's the second best quarterback. I'm taking him over Drake May.
But this is not what you would do. Don't forget. This is what you think teams are going to do.
Yeah. So,
which I would say a lot of people make the mistake of when they especially bet on the NFL draft, is they make bets thinking that teams should do something or shouldn't do something. Not about what the teams will actually do, because certain GMs have tendencies. A lot of GMs make stupid decisions. So, for this portion, let's predict what teams are going to do, not predict what we would do. Because obviously we're smart and we'd make much smarter decisions than the GMs.
Man, I almost still feel like Washington would go Jaden Daniels for the upside. But part of me also is sitting here going, they've in the past, which again, this is history, different ownership, GM, all that stuff. They drafted a guy like that, RG3. And I wonder if there's any I don't want to say buyer's remorse, because RG3 is actually pretty solid. But if there's a case like, you know what? Not
really. He had one, he was rookie of the year, and then he sucked after that.
And they had Kirk Cousins, right? So I wonder if they do the same thing. They draft like Jaden Daniels and they draft Spencer Rattler or something later on. I'll go Jaden Daniels too. But I do wonder if how much of the RG3 injuries, because Jaden Daniels has already had multiple injuries to his knees. I wonder how much of that plays a factor.
I think Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders as well. I think the Commanders signing Marcus Mariota was kind of a sign that they're going to go with Jaden Daniels, because you typically want your backup quarterback to play the same style of play as your starter. And obviously Mariota is more of an athletic kind of mobile quarterback. And that's certainly not Drake May. That'd be more Jaden Daniels. So
it's a great call, actually.
Yeah. So I'll go Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Drake May, where do you have Drake May going?
So does this just feel like the most New England thing? But Bill Belichick's no longer there. So what's their strategy going to be now that they have their guy who's been there forever gone, head coach and GM? Mm-hmm. Do they stick with Drake May and maybe go with a higher floor type of guy, which again, I if you know me, I'm not big. I was not big on Trubisky. I'm not huge on Drake May. But I do understand why people think he's probably the third best quarterback. To me, I think the first tier is Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, and I think there's a drop off. But I think a lot of people have Drake May in that category. I'll say Drake May goes third to the Patriots.
I did mean to reference the betting odds here, since they are kind of interesting. Caleb Williams minus 10,000 to go first overall. You translate that to implied probability, it's a 99.01% chance he goes to the Bears. So I think we have that locked in. Jaden Daniels is a slight favorite, minus 145 to go second overall to the Commanders, with Drake May plus 145. So it looks like it's mostly between those two. For the Patriots, number 3 overall, Drake May is the plus 100 favorite, implied probability of 50%, then Jaden Daniels plus 170. But my pick for who the Patriots are going to go with is J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
A lot of steam behind J.J. McCarthy the last month. It seems like a Patriots type of pick to me, draft a winner. And the last time they drafted a Michigan quarterback, things worked out pretty well for them. So At least I assume Tom Brady was the last Michigan quarterback. Maybe they drafted a different guy between now and then, or then and now. But I'm going to go a little bit off the board. He is 4-1 right now to be drafted, number 3 overall. So I will say the Patriots take J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
Which then leaves me with Drake May, because the question was, where does Drake May go? Drake May goes to the Giants at number 6.
Yeah,
who the Giants are going to be like, well, we didn't plan to take a quarterback. We were just going to roll with Daniel Jones one more year. But now Drake May has fallen on our lap at number 6. Now we have no choice. And we're going to take Drake May.
The issue is Arizona's probably staying at 4 because they don't want to trade back too far because they want Marvin Harrison Jr. That much we know. So I think they stay at 4 because the Chargers would, of course, take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5. So yes. I think the Arizona's, I don't want to say they're screwed, but I would be shocked if they move. Chargers, I think, stay at 5. They'll go, maybe it's Malik Nabers, maybe it's Roma Dunze. I think they stay at 5. Well, New York's interesting. Do they stay at 6, or does a team like the Vikings, like the Broncos, like the Raiders, one of those teams, do they just offer up a haul to move up? That's the question, because there are going to be some moving parts, especially if in your scenario where JJ goes there. Yep. Well, and I think you're going to see some bidding wars for that next spot.
Yep.
I almost want to go with, man, it's tough.
You're talking now where JJ McCarthy goes.
Yeah, I almost want to say Minnesota. And the reason is they have 2 first-round picks. I feel like they can try and – yeah, I like the honking in the background. I think that honk was for, like, good idea, Sterling. I think Minnesota has the draft capital to move up. So I guess in my scenario, they're getting J.J. McCarthy. In yours, they're getting Drake May. But I still think Minnesota's the team.
Minnesota is the betting favorite to land J.J. McCarthy right now, plus 115 odds. So it should be, what, 47%?
So you're saying I'm smart?
I'm saying your opinion lines up with the betting odds. Now, does everything happen exactly what the betting odds say they will? No. But I will say...
I'm saying I've not seen the betting odds, but we came to the same conclusion. So I feel pretty vindicated.
You're sharp. Now. Yep. All right. So I have Drake May to the Giants, J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots. We both have Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, and we both obviously have Caleb Williams to the Bears. The next quarterback on the board here, Bo Nix.
Oh, man. I don't know why I'm really getting a Broncos vibe with Bo Nix. I have zero backing for that, but I don't know why. I would prefer Michael Penix Jr. personally. What I saw in that Texas game showed me a lot. What I saw in that, was it the Michigan game? Where he was atrocious. Showed me a lot too. Like, the Texas game was such a far cry from some of the other elite teams he played. I don't know which one's the outlier, but when you see the highs and you're standing in there against Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy and you're taking it on the chest, you're dropping these beautiful balls in there. I'm like, you get working with some NFL talent, NFL coaching. Is that going to be more consistent? So I think that's why I go more of the Michael Penix Jr. route, but I'll go Bo Nix to Denver.
Are you sure that you didn't look at the betting odds? Because Broncos minus 130 favorites to land Bo Nix.
No, I swear.
You're sharp.
If I get this next one right, I feel pretty good.
All right. I will also say Bo Nix to the Broncos, which is going to force the hand of the Vikings. I think the Vikings might take the next quarterback on the board because you have the Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy, right?
Correct.
And the Vikings still need a quarterback. I'll say Penix Jr. to the Vikings.
I say Penix Jr. to the Raiders because the Raiders are one spot after. That makes a lot of sense to me. The Broncos are probably going to have their pick because I don't think the Raiders will have enough to move up ahead of some of these teams. So I think Denver stays ahead. Again, the Vikings, I think, have the firepower to kind of get who they want. They're already ahead of both those teams either way. But if they're like, let's trade a 7, let's make sure we get our guy, that wouldn't surprise me.
And once again, in my scenario, the Vikings would have to go a different direction, 11 overall, which they certainly could if, you know, the top 4 quarterbacks are off the board by then, and then take Penix Jr. with their 23rd overall pick in the first round. But once again, draft betting odds agree with you. They have Raiders to be the favorite to get Penix Jr. Not as big of a favorite as some other teams, though. There are basically four teams that are up there, plus 380 for the Raiders to get Penix Jr., Vikings plus 470, Broncos plus 470, Giants 6-1, and then a pretty big drop off before the Seahawks.
That's crazy because that's six quarterbacks right there.
Yep.
That's, and I don't know, you know, last year we thought there'd be more taken. We thought Will Levis was not. So there's definitely a decent chance that one of these guys just falls, whether it's Bo Nix, whether that's Michael Penix Jr., whether that's and probably one of those two. I don't see J.J. McCarthy at this point falling like that, since all the hype has been. I guess there was some hype, though, around Will Levis last year. So you never know, man.
Yeah. So we might see six quarterbacks taken in the first round. I added one more quarterback to the list here, a guy who I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this guy was projected as like the first overall pick at one point.
Well, when he came out of high school.
Yeah, when he came out of high school. Spencer Rattler. Obviously, he will not be a first round guy. He's projected, what, round three?
Probably around round three. Yeah, he's interesting, man. He Oklahoma, and everyone's like, oh, he's the guy. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. What? He had all his merchandise out, all this stuff, and he fizzled out hard. Then he went to South Carolina, and you saw some upside with him. You're sort of like, okay, yeah, he's not the best quarterback, but we get there's some tools there. He can be a toolsy guy. I wonder what happens if he gets the NFL, again, the NFL coaching. I wonder if they can somewhat get that potential back. I don't think anyone's given a first or second rounder for him, but I'm intrigued by Spencer Rattler in the third on. I don't see why you wouldn't take a shot on a guy like that. I don't know, man. Rams.
How about a team that has a veteran quarterback who is probably only going to be around for 3 years, a guy who, you know, could mentor Spencer Rattler possibly for a few years. Spencer Rattler with a lot of upside. Spencer Rattler with a lot of potential. Spencer Rattler who probably does need to sit behind a veteran guy for a handful of years.
Yeah, I get what you're saying in Atlanta. I also think you could say Seattle with Geno Smith.
Sure.
I think I was saying the Rams with, although they drafted a quarterback, what's his name? Not Carson Beck from Georgia.
But the Georgia guy. I don't
Stetson
know why.
Stetson Bennett.
Who I think is still, I think he's like borderline to even make the team this year, though.
Yeah, I mean, but I think there's a chance there, you know. Because
they just signed Jimmy G, didn't they? I think the Rams just signed Jimmy G.
I wonder if a team like Detroit, right? Detroit, how long is Jared Goff going to be there? Jared Goff's probably younger than we think.
But Detroit just drafted a quarterback, too. They got Hendon Hooker last year from Tennessee.
Yeah, and Jared Goff's actually only 29, man. He's younger than you think. Mm. I was thinking of the Bucks, but Baker's younger than you think. And they just gave him that three-year contract. I'll go ahead and say, I'll say Seattle.
Okay, I'll say Falcons.
Is there odds on him or no?
No, not for Spencer Rattler. Too far in the draft. All right, so that's quarterbacks. What about first defensive player drafted? I'm going to go through a couple positions, and we're just going to predict which player from those positions will be the first drafted, because usually for a lot of positions, there's a consensus guy for each position. There are obviously some favorites from each position, but not as big of a consensus as we normally see. So you haven't looked at any of the odds, right?
No, correct.
So I'm curious how, if your opinion continues to line up with the odds. So let's start with, who do you think is the first defensive player drafted?
Which is funny because it might not even be in the top 10. I mean, the top 10 might be all offense, which is crazy.
Well, if the Falcons keep their pick, they're almost certainly going defense.
Sure, but I think that's the spot that maybe the Vikings end up trading, which congratulations, Ian, you'd be getting more draft capital. I would be pretty surprised if the Falcons stayed with the rat. I've gone back and forth. I actually think Cooper DeJean from Iowa, the cornerback, has really driven up a lot of draft boards. Just phenomenal cornerback, great player. But I'm going to go with I guess it's not really a trend. I mean, we saw Jeff Okuda go third overall as a cornerback. But I'm going to go with Byron Murphy out of Texas, defensive lineman. I just think he's so damn good, man. I would go Byron Murphy out of Texas. I know he was playing with Tavondre Sweat and a lot of talent on that defense, but I think he's the guy.
This one does not like that would be a pretty big dark horse in terms of the draft odds possible, but he's 1-2, 5th on the list at 16-1 to be a first defense player drafted.
Okay.
There is one consensus guy who probably is. It's Dallas Turner, the pass rusher from Alabama, -185. And then some names after that. I'm going to throw it a bit of a dark horse too, not as big of a one, +650 though, but I've seen a lot of good things about, and I'm the worst at pronouncing names, so please correct me and please don't get offended. Laiatu, the Hawaiian who played for UCLA.
Yeah.
A lot of upside with him, some injury issues, which I think is hurting his draft stock a little bit, but if you're looking for a high upside pass rusher, I think he might be the guy to take.
Yeah, and that's why I went with pass rusher with Byron Murphy instead of like a Cooper DeJean or a cornerback. Just I think pass rusher in today's NFL is the most valuable position. So that's the way I went. I completely understand the guy from Alabama. What I saw at Texas, I like Byron Murphy.
Yeah, so Dallas Turner favored, then Jared Verse from Florida State, then my guy Laiatu from UCLA, then Quinyon Mitchell, Byron Murphy, and Tarion Arnold round out the top six for first defensive player drafted. Let's go first wide receiver drafted, which could be to the Chargers.
Could
be a little bit later. Let me rephrase that then. Second wide receiver drafted, because it's Marvin Harrison's -600.
It's Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, and then it's who happens next.
Right. So who's number two? I'll even say this, between Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. It's one of those.
Yeah, dude, I've gone back and forth. I almost want to wait. I think I may be talking to Rome Odunze for Stacking the Box soon. I got to get a feel for him. You never know. But, dude, I've gone back and forth. Malik Nabers I saw in person, and I watched him change the game against Mizzou. I mean, he's just so damn good. Rome Odunze I've seen, but not in person. So that makes it a little harder. Maybe I'm getting swayed by this. I think as of now, I'm going Malik Nabers just because I've seen him in person. And like, again, last year or a couple years ago, I saw Will Levis in person. I go, I would not draft Will Levis, at least in the first or second round. Well, I'm not always right, but I think sometimes you see guys in person, you get a better feel of the game speed. Malik Nabers impressed the hell out of me against a very good Mizzou defense. So I'll go Malik Nabers too.
Yeah, he is the betting favorite to go number two, and I agree. -200 to be the second wide receiver drafted, but I actually think there's some decent value on Odunze at 3-1. In terms of betting and where the value is, I actually think the value is on Odunze, but I think Nabers probably is. Mm. If you don't take odds into consideration, I think Nabers is probably the guy.
Yeah.
All right, first running back taken. I obviously have a soft spot for the running backs myself. Running backs used to be, you know, top picks in the draft, not so much anymore. Is there a running back that's going to be selected in the first round? I don't think so. No, right? Second round for a running back?
Yeah, I don't think there's a single running back drafted in the first round, and probably not even until halfway through the second.
Do you have a name at all that you think might be the first one off the board?
Well, there's, in my opinion, there's a top three. Right. You have, if you want to get Jonathan Brooks from Texas, right? That's been the name.
Yep.
You have Jalen Wright from Tennessee. You have Blake Corn from Michigan. And then you get into the next guys, Trey Benson from FSU and Bucky Irving from Oregon. Bucky Irving, I believe, has started to go up a few boards. The name that I would probably go with is Jalen Wright from Tennessee, just because of his youth. He's younger. Jonathan Brooks, as good as he has been, he's shown great vision, but he had that torn ACL. Do teams want to draft a running back that early who already has a major injury? Or do you go with the younger guy? Do you go with a guy like Jalen Wright? I probably go with the younger guy personally, but I guess how much does it matter if you're not going to give him a second contract either way? You're trying to get the best 4 years, best 5 years, but I guess four because we don't think it's a first rounder. I think Brooks is the first running back taken, but if it were me, I'd probably go right.
So there are five guys on the odds list that are kind of separate from the rest of the pack in terms of first running back taken, and they're all fairly close in the odds. The betting favorite right now is Trey Benson.
Wow.
2-1. Jonathan Brooks at 2.5-1. Jalen Wright at 3-1. So it's kind of those three. It's kind of any of those three. But then you still have Marshawn Lloyd, who's +650, and Blake Corum, 8-1, who are kind of the next two names on the list. Bucky Irving, 100-1 to be the first running back taken. So if you like Bucky Irving, put a buck, $100. Do it at DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up using code STB. If you place that bet, you get $150 no matter what in bonus bets.
Man, that is, that's intriguing.
I don't have a prediction for this. I'll say Blake Corum. I'll say Jim Harbaugh reaches on him.
That's actually a pretty good call.
At 8-1, why not? Yeah. All right. That's basically it in terms of that first kind of portion, in terms of guessing where some quarterbacks and other positions are going to go, or at least where they're going to be drafted. Let's just wrap up the show here. Now that we are a little over 2 weeks ahead of the draft, obviously you're a Chiefs guy, I'm a Falcons guy. Let's just give a quick rundown of what we think our team's strategies are heading into this draft. Chiefs, obviously, in a spot that is you know, normal for them now. It's like what the Patriots used to be, and that they're always have one of the last picks in the first round. Like, I know Patriots fans who like didn't care about the draft until now because it hasn't really mattered for them. So generally, what do you think the Chiefs' strategy is going into the draft? Wide receiver seems to be the consensus position they're going to go for in the first round. Do you agree? And what other positions do you think they're going to try to get in the first few rounds?
Yeah, wide receiver for sure. But I think defensive line is also in the cards. I know people probably don't want to hear it. The Chiefs have drafted a defensive lineman in the past first round, back-to-back years, FAU and George Karloftis. Obviously, they re-signed Chris Jones. People are saying, Sterling, why would you do that? Well, Charles Amenei, who's going to miss a large chunk of the season. They did bring back Mike Dana, which is massive, which eases those concerns. I still think you want more upside along Chris Jones on the interior of the defensive line. Now, they brought the gang back. You know, they brought back Mike Pinnell and Turk Wharton and Derek, now, all these guys, but that was kind of a black hole next to Chris Jones all season long. Like, I get they won the Super Bowl, but that was not the strength of the team. That was the one spot defensively where I think there was a lot of room for improvement. Mike Pinnell was phenomenal in the playoffs and insanely good in the Super Bowl, but you're not getting that for a full season. If you were, you're getting a 4-year, $100 million contract. You're not doing that. I would like to see like a Tavondre Sweat. I don't know if he's going to be there. I would like to see more upside on an interior defensive lineman because I think the bust rate for wide receivers in the first and second round, very close, man. Like, first and second round wide receivers, when you go through the numbers, there's not a big difference. Like, the exact same. And there's so many really good wide receivers in this draft, and I don't know if there's anyone outside the top three that really stand out. Like, if you get Leggett in the second and you get a great defensive lineman in the first, I think you're just as happy as if you get A.D. Mitchell, and then all of a sudden it's a huge drop-off in the second. Where do you see the value? You know, there's a lot of really good wide receivers. If I am going at 32, I think A.D. Mitchell's a great guy to get. I think if Burns, or isn't it Burns, the guy from LSU, if he falls, I'd be very intrigued just based on athleticism alone. But I also think if you want to go with the safe route, Ladd McConkey. Just interviewed him. If you want to check it out on Stack in the Box YouTube channel, I believe it's up now. Not 100% sure, but I interviewed Ladd McConkey. Very good. Richard says yes. So if you want to check it out on the Stack in the Box YouTube channel, Ladd McConkey interview is up there now. I think he's a great fit for Kansas City at 32 because he can play inside out. He can play slot or outside. He can be your punt returner. And I think you know his floor. It's like George Karloftis, but offensively, where he can come in week one, game one, and he's not going to be overwhelmed. I don't know if he has the upside as an A.D. Mitchell or some of these other more athletic guys, but he's pretty athletic too. His combine numbers wowed some folks. I'm pretty intrigued by Ladd McConkey if he's there at 32.
What about later on in the draft? Is there any?
I think later on in the draft, you look at an interior offensive lineman. I think with the loss of Andrew Wiley, you know, you got to rebuild the trenches, man. I've always been a staunch proponent of games are won and lost in the trenches. So you got to keep building there. I think a running back late, not first, second, third, fourth, maybe start looking in the fifth. I think Cody Schrader out of Mizzou is an intriguing guy. I think tackle, obviously, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to be high enough to get a legitimate game-changing left tackle. So I think you're kind of not getting anything there. I think maybe another cornerback. They're so good at hitting on cornerbacks late. Take another shot. You've been hitting all these darts. So that's the way I look at this. And I think there's probably a decent possibility that two wide receivers are drafted by Kansas City in this upcoming draft. One early, one late.
There are betting odds for the position the Chiefs will draft with their first or the position of the first player that the Chiefs draft. The favorite is wide receiver -105. So about a 50% chance to go wide receiver. You got offensive lineman +170, cornerback 5-1, and then defensive lineman /edge rusher at +850 are the four options. And then safety 50-1 and linebacker 50-1. So looks like most likely wide receiver. And then if not, offensive lineman and then cornerback and defensive lineman at edge are certainly possibilities, but some longer odds there.
Well, final thoughts is I think the Chiefs are in a spot where with the bringing in of Hollywood Brown, and I think Rashee Rice, realistically, I don't want to get into all the stuff right now. We still have a lot we don't know. But most likely, based on what I think the NFL has done in the past, you're probably looking at a 4-game suspension, right? This is just my opinion here, by the way. That's probably what you're looking at. That's not enough to say, oh, we have to draft a guy now. No, you brought in Hollywood Brown. Like, you'll be fine. You'll make it work. So I do think the Chiefs can do best player available. Like, I really do believe that. I'm not saying they need this or they should do this, but let's just say Ennis Rakestraw, cornerback from Mizzou's there. A lot of folks have him projected as top 18. A lot of people actually have him as a first-round grade when we know that about 18 guys probably get the first-round grade. The Chiefs have him as a first-round grade, and he's there at 32. Don't be shocked if the Chiefs take him.
All right, for Falcons, it's a little bit of a tricky spot because most likely, we got to get an edge rusher. But we draft at number 8, and there are a couple of different edge rushers we can go with. So that puts them in a spot where I think they might trade down, because you could trade down a few picks and still get one of Dallas Turner, Laiatu Latu, Jared Verse, Kenyon Mitchell. You can still get one of those pass rushers if you trade down a few picks. You could also potentially go wide receiver, and the reason why they might go wide receiver is because Falcons management, and they've been on record saying this multiple times, it's proven with when they drafted Bijan Robinson last year and Kyle Pitts, that their draft strategy is to actually just draft the best player available. They don't draft for need. Their strategy is they'll cover their needs in free agency, and in the draft, they'll take the best player available. That makes me a little bit concerned. Because who's going to be the best player available? If you're just looking at, like, if you put everyone in a pool and say who's the best one, they're not going to take another tight end, are they? They're not going to take Brock Bowers.
Oh.
I mean, he at the 8, if you're just talking about skill, he's probably the best player available at 8.
Yeah, because Joe Alt is going to go probably 5 to the Chargers.
Right. And they really, and that even if Joe Alt's the best player available, like, their tackles are so good, like, that just doesn't even make sense, because then you're just not playing one of the tackles.
Yeah. Man.
So if they follow the strategy and now the other option is they might take the best receiver available. So they might go, Malik Adunze if he's available, yeah, or one of the other wide receivers. So they might just go wide receiver. Cause I mean, their wide receivers, they did get obviously Darnell Mooney the offseason. So they have a little bit of depth, more depth than they had. They got Rondale Moore. They got Ray McLeod. So they do have some depth players. Is Mooney a number 2 guy? I don't know. So they could draft a wide receiver. I don't think they'll draft Brock Bowers, but that would be wild. I hope. And the betting odds do indicate that they'll take a pass rusher. Dallas Turner is favored to go number 8. Latu is second. Jared Verse is third. So I think if I were to guess, I think they trade down and then get a pass rusher at, like, where do the Vikings pick if they want to trade up? 11?
11.
Trade down to 11 and take a pass rusher there, whoever's left.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move. That's what I think the Falcons do. I think the Falcons trade back. It would behoove them to do so. And if they did draft Bowers, you're sitting here going, well, does Kyle Pitts move to, like, a legit, like, wide receiver? Is he now an X?
They could do that, because Kyle Pitts can't block. Let's be honest, Kyle Pitts can't block. So that actually would be kind of interesting, draft Brock Bowers and move Kyle Pitts to the slot.
And again, I know people want to say, oh, Travis Kelce isn't blocking. Travis Kelce can block. Like,
yeah.
When you say that, that just shows me you don't know or watch football. You just are a talking point because you hate Travis Kelce or the Chiefs or you hate winning, right? Kyle Pitts can't block. Kyle Pitts actually would be very intriguing if he moved to a spot in a position where he really didn't have to block. You move him to the action, move him to the slot, you can move him all around.
So if you look at PFF grades for tight ends for this year, Kyle Pitts, where is he here? Still, actually, his receiving grade isn't actually great, but pretty solid. 72.7 for his receiving grade. His run block grade was 31.2. The only one worse was Hayden Hurst, who was hurt most of the season for the Panthers because he's had a million concussions. So, and he only played like four games. So if you take Hayden Hurst out of it, Kyle Pitts by far the worst run blocker according to PFF amongst all tight ends, and it's not even close. So move him out of tight end, move him to slot, and draft Brock Bowers. Sure, Brock, Georgia guy. Sure.
I like
it. It's possible. What are the odds on them to take him? Because that might be worth a little sprinkle.
I'm kind of
45-1
now. I'm trying to find run blocking. I see Travis Kelce's pass blocking is 77, which is pretty damn solid. Not seeing his run blocking snaps though for some reason.
Well, if you just go overall, 46.9, so not great, but better than Kyle Pitts.
Huh. Which is it's funny because I do think he's actually a decent run blocker. It actually gets better as the season goes on. They don't ask me to do it a lot, but I think in certain games, I think he gives a little more, right? Like, I think in the playoffs, you saw how pissed he was when he was not on the field when the RB fumbled because the tight end missed a block and he was on the sideline. That's why he was in Andy's face. Like, he can block. His thing is they don't use him in that role.
And he was actually a very good pass blocker as well. I mean, they probably don't keep him into pass block very often, but a 77.9 grading in pass blocking is one of the better ratings amongst tight ends.
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, I think the Falcons will trade down and then take an edge rusher, but don't be shocked if they get crazy and draft Brock Bowers, which would be insane. And then they got it. I mean, they've signed a couple depth corners, but they still need some help in the secondary. They're going to draft a receiver at some point. And then other than that, I don't really know. I think they do. I think, you know, Spencer Rattler makes a lot of sense. If you get a little bit of a project quarterback, that makes a lot of sense with Kirk Cousins there for another 3 years. And then they don't, because Kirk Cousins old enough. Yeah, it'll be there 3-4 years max, and then they need another answer there. He's certainly not a guy who's going to be playing for us for the next decade. So, some secondary, a linebacker, maybe an interior lineman, but I am hoping that they take a pass rusher. We need that. We got to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, Falcons need that.
Yeah. All right, that's the show. Any final thoughts, Sterling?
Yeah, I'm just going to sit on my couch, watch the Masters, crack open a cold one, and we'll see, man. I'm very excited for the Masters. It's always a great time. I went 1 year, 2009, and it was just such a wonderful experience. So,
did you get a ticket or did
practice
you go
round? Yeah, we got the pool. We got the pool for the practice round. And that was when I was just young enough to still get signatures because I was 14. Mm. So I have a hat. Actually, it's above me right there. I don't feel like getting up and getting it, but it's signed by all the players. Pretty much everyone besides Tiger. It's got, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Jim Furyk, Phil Mickelson's on there. So it's, I cherish that hat.
As you should.
Yeah.
And your pick is Scottie Scheffler. You go note on the limb with Scottie Scheffler.
I guess, man, I got to think more. I haven't actually put money, but I guess for this show, I'll do Scottie.
All right. I'll say my actual pick is Hideki Matsuyama.
That's a good one, man.
Well, you took Scottie Scheffler, so I will also be betting on Xander Schauffele, who I've bet on to win the Masters every year since 2019, and it'll break my heart again. But that's a curse. That's a burden I have to carry with me is that every year I have to bet on Xander to win the Masters. So I will be betting on Xander Schauffele.
Who's been the best putter this year?
Best putter?
Yeah,
Denny McCarthy.
Denny McCarthy. Then it might be a little sprinkle. He's off a good one.
He finished second last week, lost in the playoff. Let me actually, I'll quickly get that answer for you right now. Taylor Montgomery is the best putter. I don't know if he's in the field this week, though.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Denny McCarthy is ninth. All right. All right, thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate and review the podcast, sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook, use the code STB, and when you place a $5 bet, no matter if it wins or loses, you will get $150 in bonus bets. Just make sure to use code STB when you sign up for an account. Thank you all so much for watching. Just a little over 2 weeks until the NFL draft. It's going to sneak up on us here. So we'll be back again next week. And in the meantime, keep an eye out for those interviews with some prospects. Sterling, you already had one interview, probably a couple more coming up within the next couple weeks. So be sure to subscribe to the Stacking the Box YouTube page to get all of those. Thank you all so much, and we will talk to you all next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.